This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. About 1.9 million people live in the 141-square-mile area of the Gaza Strip. And while conditions in the Strip have been bad for some time, many are warning of a near breaking point. 2 weeks ago, the UN Middle East envoy described a situation that could become a, quote, full collapse of the economy and social services. David Halpfinger, Jerusalem bureau chief for The New York Times, recently traveled to Gaza and says that the situation has become increasingly dire as a result of Israel's decade-long blockade of Gaza, and more importantly, because of a standoff between two groups vying for control, Hamas and Fatah. David Halpfinger joins us via FaceTime from Jerusalem. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
In your New York Times piece, you write that there is no money in Gaza. I mean, that's a pretty intense statement. Does that accurately describe the situation for most Palestinians in Gaza today?
So there is cash in the ATMs. There are people spending money here and there, but nobody has enough money, that's for sure. What I found, and the reason why I went, was, you know, Gaza is experiencing a tremendous humanitarian crisis, and it has been for some time. As you know, it's been under blockade by Israel for the 10 years since Hamas took over in a pretty bloody power struggle with the Palestinian Authority. But what's happening in the past 6 months or 9 months is a political stalemate between the two longstanding rival Palestinian factions who actually tried to make peace, but they haven't quite been able to bring that to consummate that. And so it's created this horrible financial Mexican standoff. One of them, is paying money out to its employees and needs revenue to do so. And the other one is getting the revenue and is not sharing it with the first. So you now have like people who would otherwise be middle-class Palestinians, government workers, tens of thousands of them, who either are getting paid a fraction of what they used to get and only every few months instead of every month, or they've been forced into retirement and have had their pay cut by, you know, way more than half. And this is cascading, like dominoes, through what's left of the Gaza economy.
And more broadly, I'm wondering, you mentioned Israel, the blockade, the 10-year blockade, or more than 10 years. Can Israel actually have a role in alleviating some of this?
That's a big debate that's unfurling now in Israeli society. The rest of the world sees Israel as still occupying Gaza, even if it physically has removed its people. Under international law, it's still an occupation. It is responsible for controlling who goes in and out of Gaza along its borders. And so even though they withdrew their own people from Gaza, they have retained really a tight degree of control. And they know that everybody knows that. So if things really deteriorate there, even if they don't lead to war, if things get bad and people start dying of cholera, as many feel that could happen, Israel's going to be held largely responsible.
Could this lead to a potential conflict?
Yeah. As I was interviewing people in Gaza, everybody from officials to medical people to merchants to just ordinary people on the street, they've been through this. You know, they've seen this show before. Things get bad and wars get precipitated. There's the expectation because of this pattern that this will happen again. And so Israel's bracing on its side of the wall of the fences for, you know, conflict. They've got their Iron Dome missile batteries already. They're girding for war. People on the other side, you know, some are threatening it. But even civilians are saying, you know what, like, this is getting to be too much. We need to live. We can't take this anymore. Though they're increasingly protesting Hamas itself. They're also talking now about, there's like a social media campaign to send people in mass to the fence with Israel to protest. And some, of course, are talking about, well, if we get enough protesters at the fence, maybe we just try to knock it down and head on out into Israel. So, you know, if something like that happens, it's not going to be entirely peaceful.
David Halpfinger is Jerusalem bureau chief for The New York Times. David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tanzina.
Of the 1.9 million people in Gaza, 1.3 million are refugees. Najwa Sheikh Ahmed is one of them. She's a Palestinian refugee who has lived in Gaza her whole life. She's also the mother of five children and currently works for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency in Gaza. I spoke to Najwa about what life is like for her and her family right now.
I'm currently living in the Nusayrat camp. It is one of the eight camps the refugees live in Gaza Strip. There is no work. Most of the people I know around me, even my neighbors here, doesn't have work because of the deteriorating economic situation, the social deteriorating situation also in Gaza. So the majority of the population here cannot afford food for their families. Let me say honestly that we are living but dead actually in the Gaza Strip. We are living and we are breathing like normal, but on the level of the psychological impact on the population here from all the circumstances that we have been through three conflicts, very extensive wars, 2008, 2012, 2014, blockade that stranded the people of the Gaza Strip. We are really feel that we are abandoned in this spot of the world, and we are like suffering from all the impact of all of these circumstances. For us, living in Gaza as a normal people, it's a matter of survival. It is really hard.
And we just spoke to a New York Times reporter who described the economic crisis in Gaza. Are you feeling that as well?
Yes, since 2006, after Hamas took over the government here in Gaza, since then, the situation is very deteriorating in terms of the economy. There is no goods going out or coming in. Many of the business and factories have been closed due to the blockade. Many of the youth who graduated from universities have no options or jobs. Gaza is considered one of the places where the unemployment rate is considered the highest in the world. There is no work. The level of poverty of the population have dramatically increased. Most of the people in Gaza depend on welfare organizations, including UNRWA, in supporting and providing them with basic services and basic needs. As I said, there is no jobs, there is no hope among the population. And this, of course, impacted everyone, including me and my family.
And what would you say there are many, many different pieces to this and many players involved, but what would you say is maybe one of the first things that you would like to see happen to improve the situation on the ground?
In Gaza, there is almost 2 million people, including 1 million of them is refugees who are totally dependent on welfare organization and who are totally dependent on receiving basic needs and basic services from UNRWA. The leadership, our Palestinian leadership, should work together to make the reconciliation success and to make results, positive results on the ground, on reality for the people in Gaza. The second thing, which is really important, the blockade that have been imposed on the Gaza Strip since 2006 has to be lifted. It's a shame on the international community that almost 2 million people are still living in a big prison called the Gaza Strip. So two main things, the reconciliation between Fatah and Hamas should succeed, and the blockade should also be lifted.
Najwa, thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you very much.
Najwa Sheikh Ahmed is a Palestinian refugee who has lived in Gaza her whole life. She currently works for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency in Gaza.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.